Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. We're doing something a bit different today. We're just having a bit of a wander around Barmouth and sort of just continuing our conversation that we were having over breakfast, really. We were talking about the recent protests in Hyde Park, was it?
Oh, yeah.
People, I'm not really sure what they were protesting about or what their demands were with this protest, really. It seemed to be...
It's just an anti-lockdown.
Anti-lockdown. Defending their right to catch the virus and then go and infect other people. Yeah. It seemed to be what they were... Seemed to be the point of the protest. So what do you think was going on there? And what are the implications of this?
Well, they're copying the Americans. And of course Trump has emboldened similar and perhaps more extreme manifestations of idiocy in the US.
Yeah, you know, but why are they copying the Americans? What's going on there?
Well, a number of things. I'm sure some of these people are sincere. And I notice Jeremy Corbyn's brother, Piers, who is a climate denier. And he was at the climate deniers rally at Fairbourne the other week when I went over. And he fancies himself a weather forecaster. And he's got a master's degree in sort of, I don't know, climate science or something. But... set himself up as a long-range weather forecaster, and I think that business kind of failed. And he gets slagged off for his interest in dowsing. Yeah, he's finding water with, like, hazel twigs and stuff. I don't know, just all that kind of...
So he
was arrested, yeah, he was taken away in it. He was taken away in handcuffs.
Oh,
so I'm sure
poor Jeremy Corbyn, I feel so sorry for him having a brother like that.
Well, there you go. I mean,
family's eight.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got dragged off then.
Yeah, so I'm sure there are sincere people who think, A, that the virus thing's a hoax, or if it's not a hoax, that it's exaggerated. And that really, you know, it's a government plot to prepare us for having all of our liberties removed. And this fits with all kinds of conspiracy theories. I think we do need to be a little bit nuanced about this, though, and not just sort of, you know, jump on the anti-tinfoil hat defence and just dismiss this manifestation just by saying, oh, they're a bunch of tinfoil hat nutters. I mean, they are. You know, if you listen to our thing about conspiracy theories, you'll see, you know, that we've given it a fair bit of consideration. But I think you need to look deeper than just writing it off. I mean, for instance, they're protesting the government getting itself granted really draconian powers, almost unlimited executive power.
Yeah, which is understandable.
Yeah, and if you listen to our podcast around this current events, you'll notice that we're both concerned about that. My thought is that they'll hang on to it. I also think it would have been better if people just saw the sense of it and that we could tackle this pandemic with the consent of the people. But as it happens, the government's passed these draconian laws. We are right to be anxious about them. And we should hold them to account as the pandemic subsides, when it subsides, if it subsides,
yeah.
You know, and just make sure and be prepared to take very, very strong action if they try and consolidate these draconian powers. It is very dangerous. It's very dangerous. At the same time, social distancing, closing down large gatherings like the Cheltenham races and so forth is pretty well, as far as I can see, the right call. Herd immunity would be the wrong call. Keeping the schools closed, as the Welsh government are doing. They're not opening the Welsh schools in June.
Yeah.
Like they want to in England.
So glad to be living in Wales.
Like they want to in England.
I feel quite proud of the Welsh government, actually. Yeah. They're doing quite a good job,
yeah.
I think.
So that is the right call. And these idiots who are doing this this thing. As I say, they fall into two classes. The virus is a hoax, or it's exaggerated, and we don't need lockdown, and it's a government plot. So there's two types of things there. Now, I think what brought up our conversation this morning was me mentioning to you that I'd watched the Young Turks, a 3 or 4 minute video, Young Turks put out. And obviously it's an American setup. The Young Turks are kind of online media. And what they were reporting, that was a famous hoaxer, they call them. It's somebody who just, you know, makes a real lot of noise about the pandemic being just a complete hoax, so the government can screw us over. And this hoaxer, who's very, very prominent, I can't remember the guy's name, I'm not very good with names. He caught it and got pretty seriously ill. Did he get taken to hospital? I don't think he went on a ventilator. I think he was having given oxygen. And his wife caught it, and she's on a ventilator and very, very seriously ill. And he's apologised. The guy has apologised in public and written a kind of detailed apology. And I think that's kind of really, really significant. That there's somebody out there that's gone down this line of conspiracy theory and has had to apologise because they went and fucking got it, you know.
And he's not the only one.
No.
Either.
There was another case recently. There was a preacher, an evangelical preacher in the US. And they were having services, big crowded services, a lot of singing, projecting loads of droplets into the air.
Oh, yeah.
And he was saying, you know, you won't get it. If you have the Holy Sacrament, and of course they were doing Holy Communion, you know, the bread and the wine, and saying, don't worry, this is the body of Jesus, and it'll make you immune to everything. And he caught it and died, the preacher. Mm. And he's telling all these people, it's totally cool, just, you know, we'll all just kind of squashing together into the church, you know, and we'll drink from the same cup and all the rest of it. And he died. But you've seen these nutters, you know, saying, oh, I'm bathed in the blood of Jesus, it won't get me, I'm bathed in the blood of Jesus. You've got the Pope, reckons he's been asking God to stop it. That doesn't seem to have worked. That should have blown a hole in his credibility that some people endow him with, you know. Sure, he's a nice geezer and all the rest of it, apparently. He's a bit of a humble bloke, you know, but fucking hell. What planet do they live on? You know.
I mean, one of the things...
I mean, I asked God and he said, fuck you, you know.
One of the...
He said, it's part of my plan.
One of the good things that I think is... If we're going to kind of look for any positives in this, this is what occurred to me this morning. People who, like the climate deniers, people who shout, it's a hoax,
yeah.
Project Fear, and all the things that they say to dismiss really important and damaging things that are going to hurt a lot of people in the future. These people who are doing it now see almost immediate consequences of their actions. See, the people who are shouting that the climate change is a hoax and drilling for oil is fine and pollution doesn't exist and all that sort of stuff, they can get away with that because they don't see the immediate consequences of what they're doing,
yeah,
and how they're going to hurt people.
Yeah.
But the consequences of shouting Project Fear and it's a hoax and let's all gather together,
it's going to bump up the death figures, isn't it?
Is possibly, potentially, that those people who are the ones doing the shouting themselves are going to catch the virus and have extremely serious consequences to their actions, yeah, for a change.
Some of them.
So they will be out. But if it's not them, if they're mixing in big groups because they all think it's a hoax and they're all touching each other and breathing, yeah, each other's air and all the rest of it, there'll be somebody in that group who was infectious.
Yeah.
And if they don't get it themselves, the chances are if they're their friends who will likely to be of like mind, as it were, yeah, and also thinking it's a hoax and doing stupid stuff, and their family One of them's going to get it, at least, and have suffer serious consequences to the actions. And yeah. I think this is something maybe we have never seen before, where the serious, very, very serious consequences to your actions are being seen really within like 2 weeks at least of you doing those stupid things.
Yeah, it's instant karma.
And I also think that because these are the very same people who are likely to be shouting lots of other stupid stuff about all the climate change as a hoax and all the rest of it, what is happening is this is going to cast doubt on everything else that they said.
Yeah.
If that person who's shouting that the virus is a hoax gets the virus and is extremely ill and maybe members of their family extremely ill and maybe die, all the other things that they said about everything else was a hoax, the people who've been really listening to them and believing them, how they passionately said the virus was a hoax, in the same passionate way they said that climate change is a hoax, it certainly will make some people at least look at them and think, oh, well, they were wrong about that. What else were they wrong about?
Yeah. Well, something else I want to add to that is that there is big far-right money, Koch brothers, definitely implicated in this movement. And it gets over here eventually. It happens in America and it comes over here. But, and also the DeVos family. And Trump is in their pocket, you know, big oil. Same people started the Tea Party. Same people are kind of financing climate denial and its propagation. This is huge, huge money, and it's there to defend itself, really. How does it work? Well, it's a kind of a divide and rule, isn't it? You get people arguing about it. Is it a hoax? Isn't it a hoax? So you end up obscuring the picture. It's like smokescreen stuff, you know, in battlefields you can get let off tons of smoke so the enemy can't see what you're doing and all the rest of it. It is that kind of scenario. But there is big money behind it, and this is fairly easy to trace and track down.
Do you think that's happening here as well?
Yeah, but I mean, as I said, the people themselves involved can be quite sincere, you know. You do it by financing certain articles, getting high-profile people to say stuff, paying somebody who looks as though they've got some scientific credentials to write an article, this kind of thing. You always get some tame scientists, you know. The case of the tobacco industry, how they kind of produced pseudoscience to say that smoking wasn't harmful, and which delayed legislation to sort of attempt to lessen some of the damage caused by smoking, basically by getting people not to smoke and curtailing advertising, was put back for years, decades. So we've got a case of, you know, financed denial of a harm, acting in the interests of big multi-billion industry. So the case of the tobacco industry over the last 50, 60 years, 70 years, is a good case in point. So those are some considerations. But why I have a go at these people, because I mean, you say, well, it's free speech, let them believe and say what they like. Even though, of course, it has results, doesn't it? Like you were saying, you know, so one of them's going to get it, they're going to take it back home to their family. It's not as though that it's completely harmless what they're doing.
Oh. Well, protesting now is certainly very different and will have very different consequences to protests in the past. And if these people are so interested in protesting about injustices done to the public by the government, where were they when all the other injustices were happening?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There were millions of things that they've done which are bloody awful that they could have been out protesting against.
Yeah.
So where were they then?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So the interesting ethical point that you can draw out of all this is that in exercising your freedom, you can have the effect of curtailing the freedom of others. I mean, being dead is not exactly a state of freedom, is it?
No.
You know, or being, spending like weeks and weeks in hospital and maybe like months or even years recovering is not exactly freedom. So there's this...
No, it's the freedom to harm other people.
So we kind of moved on to a discussion, didn't we, about the big abstract freedom, equality, property. And about how if they're treated as absolutes, that we can't kind of collectively limit in any kind of way, or attenuate or modify in any kind of way, that they become tyrannical. I mean, the freedom that the now liberals want, the kind of freedom that James Buchanan shilled for decades, is the freedom to exploit others by investing your property, your capital, as it were. And because property is sacred and absolute, you're allowed to do that. What that does is it restricts the freedom of the people who have no power over their lives, who can only exist by and keep themselves alive by working for these capitalists or investors. So their freedom, their economic freedom, which they've done an enormous amount of campaigning to rise up to an absolute right and an absolute good. It's the it is ultimately the freedom to exploit and restrict others. In other words, to restrict the freedom of others. You get the same thing, you know, I was talking about property there. But if property is a sacred right, absolutely inviolable, and no society can turn around and say, we don't want any billionaires, we'll let you have 50 million, then you've got to stop. If any society did that, that would be violating this absolute right. But why would a society want to do that? Well, they'd want to do it because if property becomes an absolute right, completely inviolable, raised up to a fundamental, you know, a sort of, we're talking about here a neoliberal fundamentalism. If that were to obtain, then it would be possible for one person to own everything in the world, and for everybody else to own nothing, and in owning nothing to have no control and or power over their own lives, so they would become unfree. So that much vaunted freedom to own property and invest it has got the logical final outcome of everybody in the world becoming unfree, apart from maybe one person. Now, I'd say we're nearly there, you know, it's like a handful of people own most of the world's wealth. Over half of it. I think it's 8 people own over half of it. Some figure like that. There's an enormous concentration of wealth and power in the hands of very few. And there's nothing technically in the way the world is set up and the way property is absolutised for that concentration of wealth and power to dwindle right the way down to 2, 3, maybe even one person. So, I mean, the point that we were making is that freedom and these other absolute, these other principles that get raised to the status of absolutes shouldn't be raised to the status of absolutes. They don't apply in the real world. They produce monstrous dystopias, at least potentially, and I think, you know, currently, like almost actually. So, those protesters, as is often the case with these conspiracy wallers, they're kind of onto something, but then they get mixed up. And I think they probably get deflected by the power of the big money and the ideology that the big money can finance. So what they're doing is they're claiming this absolute right to freedom, with the net result that they will remove, in the process of claiming their freedom, the freedom of others, the ones that die as a result of their actions. Now, the other point I would want to make here is that They're quite right not to trust the government, because the government does actually lie. If you followed the general election and the career of Jeremy Corbyn and listened to Radio 4 Today programme, which goes out from, I don't know, what is it, 6 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock in the morning, until, you know, a big long news, live news radio jobby, you'll know, objectively, that the media lie, the BBC lies, you know that the papers lie.
Yeah.
And spin in disgusting ways. And they're all right wing, all of them. Well, our press is owned by billionaires. You're right not to trust them either. It is actually like the distrust that the conspiracy nutters have has actually got some kind of sense to it. But it places us in the position that nobody trusts anything because they can't trust anything. So it ends up with it becoming very, very difficult to actually know what's going on. And I think this thing of being able to discern evidence and weigh it with any kind of efficacy is actually a skill that takes a long time to acquire. And even then, it's not foolproof. I don't claim that I'm foolproof, but I will say I've got a lot of training and a lot of experience in analysis. And it's difficult, and we can't expect Joe Public to be up to speed with that stuff. It requires like a lifetime of fucking dedication, and then even then, you know, you haven't got this kind of foolproof means of knowing what's going on in all circumstances. And as, you know, just to reiterate, all of this, the difficulty of actually finding shit out, compounded with objectively, demonstrably untruthful media and a demonstrably untruthful government. What are people to do? It's little wonder that they fall prey to it's a hoax, you know, and fall prey to like absolutising discourses, like freedom is the ultimate good, or equality is the ultimate good, or property is the ultimate good. Because when you are dealing with these big principles, you need to bring them down to earth and see how they operate in concrete situations in the world. And you find that you've always got to kind of make some sort of nuanced evaluation of how far you want to go with property as a good, how far you want to go with freedom as a good, you know, as a collectivity. I mean, if you say freedom is absolute, what's to say that you don't have the right to go and, I don't know, shoot all the kids up in the school because you feel like it? That's freedom, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's absolute freedom. So you need to think around it in the context of the concrete matter of communities getting on with their lives, providing for their needs, and trying to ensure collectively the flourishing of the community.
So anyway, that's just a continuation of the conversation we've been having today that we wanted to share with you. So I hope you found that interesting, and we'll speak to you soon.
Make knowledge great again. Wash your hands.